There's excellent lesson appointed for this day is in the 6th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 8th verse. Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field, until there is no more room, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. The Lord of hosts has sworn in my hearing, surely many houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful houses without inhabitants. The 10 acres of vineyard shall yield but one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield but an ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may run after strong drink, who say late in the evening till wine inflames them. They have wild hearts, timbrel and flute and wine at their feet, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord or see the work of his hand. Therefore my people go into exile for want of knowledge. Their honored men are dying of hunger, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore Sheol has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth beyond measure, and the nobility of Jerusalem and her multitude go down, her throng and he who exults in her. Man is bowed down, and men are brought low, and the eyes of the haughty are humbled, but the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and the holy God shows himself holy in righteousness. Then shall the lambs graze as in their pasture, fatlings and kids shall feed among the ruins. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You tell them, Isaiah. You tell those proud and no good people of Judah. Woe to them. They've got it coming. Oh, sure, they might look like leaders. Leaders of industry and commerce, pillars of the community. Real estate moguls, land developers, agribusinessmen, those who join house to house and field to field, so there is no room. Others may be known publicly for some questionable habits, or those who rise early so that they may run after strong drink, a couple of three Bloody Marys on a breakfast flight to New York. This is before rehabilitation became fashionable, remember? You tell them, Isaiah. It's about time those folks get their due. It's just not fair sometimes how life deals with us. Those who have the good life seem to get a better life. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And speaking about the poor, some might even complain, do we have to support them too? Why not speak woes against the poor? How about the great middle class? Certainly these vices, greed, chemical dependency, immorality are hardly limited to one social class. Why should I have to pay for the irresponsibility of others? Or why should my children be taxed to pay for the delinquency or impending rehabilitation of half a generation of children raised without value or effort? Life just isn't fair. Not just at all. So consider this problem of justice. Or better put from man's perspective, injustice. Everyone has an opinion, and the mission seems quite impossible. From political hijinks at the United Nations to the wisdom of Judge Wapner's court. From the pockets of Ivan Bolsky to the arms of Iran's Ayatollah. The Americans want blood at the White House, we were told, from the day the scandal first broke. From debates over capitalism versus socialism to cries for liberation, from concern for the poor to pity for the rich. From times modern to times ancient, man seeks and searches, longs and hopes for justice. And that is what Isaiah would address this day. And he would share with us an apparent word of Advent hope. For justice is coming. Now, to be sure, Isaiah is blessing, accosting, and accusing, especially the rich of his day for their injustice, for ignoring the poor, the widows, the orphans. But note that he does not chastise them simply for being rich. It is their pride and arrogance that is the problem. They do not regard the deeds of the Lord or see the work of his hands. In other words, the problem is not just economic, not even socio-economic or political. The problem is theological. And therefore, the solution is theological. Man is bowed down and men are brought low. The eyes of the haughty are humbled, but the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice. And the holy God shows himself holy in righteousness. This is the text. One philosophical wag once noted, and he was not making a particularly theological issue, but he noted that injustice is relatively easy to bear. What things is justice? How often don't we hear those words of calm confidence in our own judicial system? I appeal. And even the losers interviewed by Doug Llewellyn on the People's Court are rarely pleased that justice has been served. Who, even when guilty, likes to be found guilty, convicted, and sentenced? Yes, justice sins. And as Isaiah would pull us back to the theological issue, then, our Advent hope that justice is coming turns first to the sting of our own sin. If it's justice you want, then justice you shall have, Isaiah could well say to our world as well. For when God comes to be exalted in justice and shows himself holy in righteousness, then all of those who seek justice only on human terms or by human efforts will be judged as proud and arrogant. And all those who cry out for right will be wrong. If injustice is a result of sin, and therefore really quite understandable, or at least explicable in a fallen world, if injustice is a result of sin, then justice must first deal with sin. And it is not just the rich or the poor or the great middle class that is either just or unjust, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when God comes again as judge, we often call it Judgment Day, then we all shall stand before him as sinners, guilty of death. And Sheol will have opened its mouth beyond measure. Justice is. Yes, you tell him, Isaiah, but I'm afraid he has told us as well. For God's people, too, fall under God's justice and his judgment. Indeed, it was God's own chosen people whom Isaiah addressed in our text, the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And even clergy, dare we say, though quite properly never to be included in the lifestyles of the rich and famous, we are called to a life of servanthood, yet we are no less immune to the problems of pride and arrogance, our own versions of injustice and insensitivity, not to mention an occasionally scandalous lifestyle. The day of justice and judgment comes for us as well. It is with good reason that the time of Advent is a time of repentance. And Jesus himself warned that that day would come as a snare, suddenly, like a trap, and would come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Of course, in the Gospel, Jesus also relates this coming judgment of God to the coming of the kingdom of God, a kingdom whose king, according to Isaiah, would come with justice and righteousness as the girdle, the belt around his waist. a king who would judge the poor with equity and righteousness, and whose reign would bring not only judgment and justice, but also peace and joy, salvation and forgiveness. Perhaps it is no accident that the Hebrew word found in our text can mean not only judgment and justice, but also God's justification. And it is so commonly linked with God's righteousness. Isaiah himself would pick up on the theme later in his great chapter 53, when he says that God's servant, the righteous one, God's righteous one, would cause many to be righteous. A blessed Hiphil, if there ever is one, for he would forgive their iniquities, in a sense, pay for the irresponsibilities of others. Oh, that's not fair by our standards. We wouldn't stand for it. But here was God's justice at work. For when was the Lord exalted in justice and shown holy in righteousness? Than when the Son of God himself, our Savior, our King, was exalted in deepest humility on the cross, and then raised again for our justification. Yes, there is hope. Justice is coming. Christ is coming. Advent repentance leads to Advent hope. Christ, a Savior, is born. And because of his incarnation, his birth, his life, his death and resurrection, then his coming again as judge at the end of time is for us also a message of hope and joy, of Advent expectation, for God has already judged our sins in Christ. Oh, we are guilty, all right. But for Christ's sake, God has declared us forgiven. The verdict has been given, the sentence has been read, the punishment has been paid, judgment has fallen, justice is served, Jesus died for our sins. Does anyone want to appeal that verdict or seek to alter that decision? Gone is all our human pride and arrogance. We live every day in humble Advent repentance. Gone are all the utopian hopes for human justice. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yes, we seek justice, but only as those who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. We seek justice by speaking God's word of justification by grace through faith on account of Christ. It is a gift of God. Yes, you told us, Isaiah. Now we'll tell them. Amen. Mm-hmm.